Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your soul, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in
control, y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
Speak Life Radio Show. What's going on? This is Devon Good. We're here another night for some real talk. The music wasn't supposed to cut off like that, but that was Hezekiah Walker. Better. And I think that was befitting because I don't know about you, but I want to see our nation get better. So we're here again this week. Glad you all took time out of your schedule to join us tonight. What's going on, Elder? How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. So, oh, Lord, I tell you, man, this is going to be a very interesting show. we have a wide variety of different views. What's going on, Kia? How are you tonight?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? You got your laugh tonight? We need some laughter tonight. We're going to need some laughter.
I don't know. Depends on how many of my Republican counterparts come on the line.
Wait a minute.
I'm a Republican,
hey,
and I'm here.
Wait a minute. Elder, she gave me kind of a briefing yesterday. So she called me.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, right. Exactly. We know Kia. I love her to death, though. I wouldn't trade her for the world. So listen, we're not even going to take much time and go through all what we normally go through. We're going to jump right on in this thing because I believe that, you know, in all of the different shows that we do and all of the things that we talk about, this is definitely important and it's something that needs to be discussed. And so I have two. Very important people who are very important to our city, our area, and I want to bring them on. Want to be respectful to their time. So joining us now, we have the mayor of Trotwood, Ohio, Miss Mary McDonald. How are you this evening?
I am wonderful. How are you?
All is well. All is well. Also joining us on the line is the motivator, the make you happy, don't talk you out of jumping off a bridge, everything. Our brother Marlon Shackelford. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, I feel real good. I'm doing great. I have no complaints.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Also, we have another guest that popped in with us on tonight. He is no stranger to the show. We have Brother David Bush. What's going on with you, sir?
Good evening. How are you? How is everybody doing?
Doing great.
Great, great, great,
great. Great.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and dive right in. And, again, I believe that this show is definitely going to be interesting. So what I want to throw out there, and on this show, we don't try to be too boxed in because we kind of want to shoot from the hip and pretty much just throw the topic out there and just pretty much let it evolve and go where it goes. So the topic tonight is why we must vote. And I wanted to do the show because I've been hearing a wide variety of different opinions in regards to this particular election, where I'm hearing some that are not for Trump, not for Hillary, and have just made up their mind that they're just not going to vote. I have heard some that are voting for Trump. Some are voting for Hillary. But I've heard also another tone where people are just, this election is pretty much a joke. It's seeming like. But I wanted to talk about the importance of us voting. Now, we have some people on the line that are not for either. We have also someone on the line that he will explain that he does not vote. We have Mayor McDonald, who I think is doing a wonderful, wonderful, excellent job and with the city of Trotwood, who just went through a year. I think it's been a year. Has it been? It's been a year, hasn't it?
No, it has not. This is January.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. So, but the work that she's doing, where you would think it's been a while, but she hit the ground running. And one thing I can honestly say is her campaign, I loved how she kept herself and how she we'll let you hear from her. Brother Marlon Shackelford, who's out in our community, who has been encouraging since I was in elementary, high school, and all of that. So we'll just go ahead and start. And anybody want to jump in there? Mayor McDonald, give us your thoughts on why it's important for us to vote, and particularly in this particular election.
Well, I think it's important for us to vote, number one, because it honors our history. You know, in this country, you know, the things that have happened to us as a people, we owe it to our ancestors, people who fought, people who were killed, all kinds of things happened to them, fighting for our right to vote, and we need to honor that. We need to have our voice, whatever you're for, whether you're for someone, against someone else, whoever you stand for, just get out there and vote. Have your voice in there. And then be willing to get the best information. You know, we need to be informed when we vote. We need to understand the issues. We need to understand the people, and we need to not allow people to tell us who to vote for because we haven't done our homework. But let's do our homework. And when we do our homework, we can be satisfied at the end of the day. The voting process and the privilege of voting is something that's extremely personal to me, and it's something that I want to see each and every person 18 or over at the polls. It's necessary, whoever you stand for.
That's real good. That's real good. Elder, was that you?
No, sir, that was not me.
Oh, okay. Brother Bush, I want to go ahead and hear your thoughts. You told me earlier that you do not vote. Can you share with us why that is.
It is a personal decision. It has always been a personal decision. Mainly for me, it's connected to my spiritual life. I haven't been
okay.
called to operate in that way as far as voting. However, that does not mean that I don't support voting. It doesn't mean that I don't support certain people in office. Certainly, I work in the community and with community organizations. When A.J. Wagner and Dayton was running for mayor, I certainly supported him and worked along with him. I certainly support Mary McDonald. I knew the work she was doing before she became mayor. I support people like Marlon Shackelford. So in that sense, for me personally, it's not necessary for me, I feel, to vote in that way because I participate in the community and in government per se as far as being an active participant in it without actually needing to vote. So I show up. I was at a community meeting here where I am back in my hometown of Canton earlier this week talking to the mayor. I asked him for his line item on his budget because they have a $5 million shortfall next year. So whatever I can do to move that process along, if I can find some dollars, I will do that. I didn't vote for the man. I won't vote for the next mayor. But that doesn't stop me from operating in the community. And so for me personally, it's not something that I've been called to. And because the way I operate spiritually, I know the Lord will put in place who he allows to put in place. And for me, whatever the leader or authority does, good or bad, I answer to a higher power. God is the ultimate ruler for me. I obey God as ruler rather than man. So those are the reasons why I personally haven't felt it necessary to vote. And that's not to say that I won't register to vote in the future. As soon as he moves me to do so, I will do so.
Okay. Now let me just throw this out here. All that are on the line that we have introduced, your phones are not muted. So anytime you want to jump in, want to give your thoughts or opinions, you are more than welcome to do that. Brother Shackelford, Mayor McDonald, mm-hmm. anyone want to give their thoughts about that?
Well, I would just say, and I like that he used the word personally, and he does do a lot in the community, and I respect his work. For me, though, I was a part of, was it 8 years now, the Puff Daddy Vote or Die, and we basically flipped those words around to say not vote or die, but people died to vote. So for me, it goes back to what our mayor just said. I think voting honors our history, and I think it's important to lift every voice and vote. Matter of fact, this week, two of my groups, Peace Ambassadors, which are the young people and the street soldiers, are going to literally 5,000 houses from Friday starting tomorrow to Sunday. And we're not telling people who to vote for. We're just telling them that we think because of the Voting Act Bill in 1965 and when we came to America, we went from no rights to black rights to civil rights, and we're still fighting for human rights if all lives matter. And we just think that voting allows you to speak your mind and let your voice be heard. I do believe one voice works. I do. I think that one vote really works, especially locally, because, you know, I supported Mary. I go back with Mary along with my mothers knew each other, were friends. I supported her locally. And even though I am a Democrat, but I'm more as a voter, I'm more as an independent. I'm at the point in my life where I'm voting for the candidate that I think that's going to make a difference in our community. I'm looking for the person who is conscious with what's going on in our community. I mean, are you conscious? Do you know the issues? I think that local municipality, as they call it, locally, I think it's real important that we vote and we put the right people, but they have to be socially conscious. So they have to be aware of what's going on. I think when you're talking about voting, our children are depending on us. I'm having mock elections in school asking kids what do they think. You know, I think our children depend on us. It's just so important. I really think that voting changes community. I think that voting affects change. Anytime you're talking about taxation without representation, that's why we got to vote. And I think because of apathy, that's the government, that's we're having all these problems now because a lot of times that we don't vote. But I'm not pointing the finger that people don't vote. I'm just saying for me, I think voting is just so important. And when I talk to young people, they depend on us to vote. So that's really it in a nutshell for me. But I support the person that maybe don't vote, they come out there, but they've researched the candidates and they got their foot in the fire because I think that it's going to take the village, and the village is on fire. And one of the reasons it's on fire because I think too many people are not voting. You know, I hear a lot of these activists who I really don't respect, and I watch them get on Facebook, and, you know, they telling all these people, don't vote, don't vote. Don't vote. Then I ask them this question. Well, what are you doing when you tell somebody don't vote? And if they tell me nothing, I got a problem with that. So you're telling people don't vote, right? And but you're not really doing nothing. But you know, getting on Facebook for 5 or 6 hours now, I don't even know when you work. So it is a concern of mine. And I just think for me, it's just important, especially locally, that we get out here and we push the right candidates, regardless if they're Republican, Democrat, Independent. Are they making a difference in our community? Do we see them in our community moving things forward? And one thing about this area, you can't lie to me because I'm out there. I know who's doing what. I know who's. See, so you can't get up there and tell me what you're doing. I know if you're giving lip service or if I know if your sermon is your feet. And I see you in DeSoto. I see you in Arlington. I see you in Trotwood. And so I'm not going to say what we're going to do, but me and my brother, we're going to expose some people in the next couple of weeks because we've been doing a community report card. We've been going around asking people who does what. And some people are going to be embarrassed. Some commissioners are going to be embarrassed. Some school board members are getting ready to be embarrassed. And I hate we had to do this because I worked with 17,000 young people last year. I shouldn't have to keep doing it. But I'm tired of these politicians, and I don't call them politicians. I call them politicians, right, with politics. And they're destroying our community, and they're not really doing what they're supposed to. Like C.J. McLean, his motto was one who delivers. And a lot of people are not delivering, and we're putting them back in office because they're friends with friends. And we got to stop that, y'all. We got to stop it. That's why I'm not just going down the line on Democratic. No, I'm not. I know I'm not. Who is the most qualified? Who can I count on? And I think as voters, Mayor, you said it. Do your research on these candidates. Watch them.
Right.
Make sure that they're models for us. Are they models or are they just talking? And what I'm seeing in the Dayton, I'm going to say the Montgomery County area, not just Dayton, because I represent the county, I'm seeing a lot of people in office shouldn't be there. And I'm sorry I took so much time. So, but
no.
Representation is so real. And I just think if we don't vote and we're not doing nothing, that's apathy that got us the government that we have. So why are we blaming everybody? You know, I'm just not willing to do that. I know I do the work. I know nobody outworks me because my mother put that in me. My mother said, give 125% and don't just save one, just lose one, right? And so with that attitude, I'm just willing to do whatever I can because I love the Montgomery County. You know, I work in Dayton. I work in Trotwood. I love this community, and I think locally it's where we got to put our real pressure. But I'm sorry.
Mr. Shaw,
no, don't apologize.
That was a lot, and that was good, too.
I have a question.
That covers a lot of what I feel. I've been on city council for 12 years, and for 12 years I have sat back and I have watched a ruling party be in the leadership of all of Dayton, make all the decisions from the county as well as out here, and I will tell you, our city is on the move. The city of Trotwood is on the move simply because of a willingness to engage everyone. You cannot sit back and say to a group, no matter what, you have my vote, without questioning, without expecting, without believing that these folks really are acting in your interest. what I'm seeing, when I look at city commission and I see everybody has been Democrat for I don't know how many years, at least as many years as I've been on council, what is wrong with West Dayton and Jefferson Township and the city of Trotwood in terms of its development? We have got to question that because, see, people think the money that comes from Columbus and goes to Trotwood. It does not. It goes down to the county. And then the funds are distributed from there. Okay? Now, I see development in areas where probably, you know, folks live that are the deciders because they don't live in Trotwood and they don't live in West Dayton. They don't live in Jefferson Township.
Well,
but
let me say it for the
moment.
Let me go ahead and say what I feel like the mayor can't say because of her position. We see the money going to where Debbie Lieberman lives, and we see the money going to where the other two commissioners live, but they don't live in the areas where the money is most needed. You can see them building up Austin Landing, or you can see them building up Inglewood or Clayton or Beaver Creek, but the place the money is needed the most has been skipped over time and time again. And so the question that I have,
we're settling for crumbs. We're settling for programs. We're begging for $5,000 and $10,000, and these people are moving millions.
My question is this, and maybe, Mayor, you can answer this. Mr. Shackelford, maybe you can answer this. I don't know if I've ever met you before. Very nice to meet you here on the show.
Mm-hmm. You too.
But why is it, and this is just baffling to me, that year after year, these people who aren't doing anything for our communities run unopposed, like there is no one who runs against them, who is passionate, who is informed, or at least dedicated to wanting to see their communities better. And year after year, from the school board to city council to county commission, these people run unopposed.
I can give you the answer to that. The answer to that clearly is because we're not political. Because when you're political, these people watch for the times when it's time to gather signatures and be ready. We start thinking about politics when it gets close to November the 4th.
Yep.
There are people that think about politics 365 days of the year because it's all about a strategy.
That's right.
And it's about a strategy to control. And we must think about that way in our community. And then we have to be willing to have people on both sides of the aisle. People think I'm one party, and I'm probably the same party that they are. But guess what? Mm-hmm. In my capacity as a mayor, it's a nonpartisan position. It means keep yourself away from identifying yourself with any one particular party because you have to work with everyone. The reason Trotwood is moving forward now versus what it was before is because people were not willing to cross over on the other side and talk to those people. And guess what? I am. And I will do whatever it takes to move my city forward. I don't care who like it, who don't like it, who happy with it, who's not happy with it. Because guess what? Right now, our city is the fastest moving and growing city in Montgomery County. And it's doing that simply because of a willingness to engage people who have been vilified and been made to look a certain way. But here's one thing that I do know. I had a meeting on one particular day. The morning I met with Rob Portman's people. The afternoon I met with Sherwood Brown's people. These are teams of people that came in to meet with my leadership staff. Rob Portman's people were talking to me about how to get jobs up in here. Sherwood Brown's people were telling me how I could get an AmeriCorps volunteer so I could have some people get together and do cleanups. You know what? I don't need that. I need jobs for my people, and I need jobs that pay a living wage. That's what I'm going after. So when people want to identify me with old Republican, this, that, and the other, we got to look at success. And when I look at success and what I've learned from being a small business owner, if you want success, you have to associate and you have to emulate successful people. You have to go talk to successful people. And that's what I'm doing that's different, because I don't want to continue to be down here fighting drums, you know, for these little programs and things like that out here, that the next budget to go around, they're going to cut your $5,000 that they give you just for you to say, you know, vote for them. We got to wake up from that. That is nothing but hush money. And then we got to be careful of leaders that are put in place to be the gatekeepers to shut us up and to try and shut me down. I told the pastors, I met with a number, about 25 pastors yesterday that were just with me tonight. Don't let these people try and destroy me while I am trying to help our community move forward. Because there's nothing that I'm getting out of this. And I will tell you, the mayor's job doesn't pay my bills. Most of you all probably don't even know what a mayor makes. The mayor of Trotwood makes $9,000 a year. Now, y'all see me out there on Facebook. $9,000.
Yeah,
I'm out there working my butt off. That ain't even my hair money, Marla. You know,
right.
And I'm saying that to say, this, you got to do this because it's in your heart, and you got to do this because it's your people. I'm straight out the faith community. My daddy, Reverend Thomas Clay, he taught us, and my mom, they taught us how to work. My mother, Maddie's Kitchen, we've been working all of our lives.
I have never seen
the West Side and Trotwood look as bad as it looks right now. And the people who are over us are the people we are so eager to say we'll work for, stump for, and all that kind of stuff, and vote for. We have got to question that. And because politics is really a game. It's, and then the game is called, what have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, you know, I knew that the position didn't pay much, you know, but the exact figure and the fact that, I mean, every time I looked up during your campaign, while you were campaigning, I mean, you were out there in the faces greeting and, you know, wow. That there, if that doesn't speak volumes, then I don't know what does. I mean, just the mere fact that, go ahead.
I just want to say something real quick in light of the faith community, since Her Honor brought it up. As a pastor in Trotwood, it is frustrating to me to see the leaders in the faith community not being politically involved. Now, I am not saying by any means that the pastors have to hold office or anything like that, but I am saying is that when a city reaches out to its faith community, inviting them to the table, where at no other point have they been invited to the table to effect change, it's like you cannot get some of the faith leaders to participate in anything that doesn't promote what they're doing. And I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that mainly because, as pastors, we have to understand that the people that the Lord has allowed us to shepherd go through a whole hell of a lot of other stuff Monday through Saturday before they get to church on Sunday. And if we can't be influential in the lives of the people that have their hand in the lives of the people we're supposed to shepherd, then I think we're doing God's people a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
I just think we are doing God's people a grave disservice.
I agree, Pastor. And I tell you, one of the things I was so proud tonight, when I visited the Dayton Baptist Ministers Alliance on yesterday with about 25 pastors, invited them to an event that was held at Sinclair tonight that I'm just coming in from, which was VITAS, talking about end-of-life care for our people and the fact that we're so underserved, and that by the time somebody's ready to leave this world, most African-Americans are on hospice care for about a day, you know, when they really could have had palliative care for a period of time. But a number of them showed up. I have to say probably at least about 10 of those ministers showed up. I think one of the areas of concern with some pastors, because my dad was one, they're very proud. They're very proud men, and they're not always used to someone speaking into their lives. They're used to speaking into someone else's life because of their title. So my approach to them is saying that we're partners. I need you. I'm your girl. I'm the person that's going to get you the truth. I'm the person that's going to connect you to the information that you need. And then I'm going to hold you in my heart in a way that you don't have to feel that there is a process that's going to go down that's going to embarrass you or hurt you. And I think that's probably things that's now, the biggest challenge, Pastor.
And let me say this, because I touched on it briefly on my Facebook page the other day, just in case there are any pastors that may be listening. There is nothing wrong with endorsing any particular candidate from your pulpit on any given Sunday. That is not what the separation of church and state is. The separation
Absolutely.
Of church
right.
and state in terms
right.
of the Constitution and the amendment simply says that this government will not respect any one religion. That has nothing to do with your 501(c)(3), your nonprofit status, which you shouldn't even have to file if you are a church in the United States, because you don't even need a 501(c)(3) status because you're automatically exempt and they can't take it away from you. People have hoodwinked and bamboozled the church into thinking
yes.
or forfeiting our right to be influential. And I don't
That's
care what
right.
anybody else says. And from my point of view, and I have said it so many times before, I am an advocate for the church, even with all of her flaws. I love the church because it saved my life. I said, we are the most influential entity on the face of this earth. And for
Absolutely.
Us to forfeit our voice simply because we think people going to keep the money from us is asinine to me. It's asinine.
Let me throw this out here, because this is the thing. How do we influence our young people? How do we get it in their heads the importance of voting? Because it has to be more than just us saying it. Brother Shackelford, you just said that from Friday to Sunday, you all are going to 5,000 homes.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other creative things that you guys are doing to instill the importance of our young people jumping on board and grabbing hold of this thing that we call voting?
Yeah, well, let me backtrack just a minute and say that one of the big problems in our community is we don't have unity. And when you don't have unity, you don't
yeah.
have organization. And that's a big problem. And church in walls is great, but the real change is church without walls. And so the church is the greatest institution that we have in our community. That's why it's important to pull the pastors in. We need them and they need us. Now, what we're doing with young people is, like I said, the peace ambassadors, which the motto is live in peace, not rest in peace. We're basically got about 150 kids. They're the eyes, feet, ears to the school. So we kind of know what's going on. Our street soldiers program based on what they do. One of the first things that you got to do to be in peace ambassadors or with Tommy Owens and myself, our Teen Up program, which you got to be, our GPA is 3.0 and up, that's why we call it Teen Up, is voting is something that's required. I mean, and what I mean by that, you have to be able to give us 100 community hours in 2 years if you're 16, and when it's time to vote, to stay in our group or to move to the next level, which is street soldiers, you have to understand the power of voting. Because here's the thing, what else do we got if we don't have voting? And if somebody can give me the answer, okay. But if we just stop voting right now, we just say everybody's not going to vote, how is that going to help? So we make that a part of our curriculum. And what has to happen is that we've got to take it to the schools and not just say vote to vote. We have to take it to the schools and understand that these young people are stalwart and say, this is why we vote. What do you think? One of the biggest problems when you talk about with the politicians, we're not training young people up. We're not passing the torch. We're getting
right.
the torch
mm-hmm.
and we're passing the torch that's not lit. So when
that's
it's
right.
time for people to run for mayor, city commissioner, county commissioner, we don't have nobody qualified to do it.
That's right.
Or the few that we got, they've been socialized so bad that they become puppets. So you got to get the Monikas, you got to get the Anthony, you got to get these people who are thinking out of the box, who might need more grooming, but they're willing to think out of the box and they really got a big heart for the community. We don't do that. We go get somebody's son because they've been in office 30 years, get their son or somebody's daughter. Well, what do we expect these people to do? That's why I get mad at black folks, right, or colored colored folks, Negro, whatever the new name is this week. Right? I get mad because what are we expect, y'all? We didn't groom nobody. We didn't nurture nobody. We didn't reach out
Love
to the
it.
Mosque, the synagogue, the temple, the church. We didn't go get that little boy who might not be making good grade, but he's a leader and he's on a basketball team, and we know he has that skill set to be a great C.J. McClellan. We didn't reach out to them. We didn't reach out to them, right? You know something is funny. They was talking about Mary, right? And the lady at Nerd asked, "You support her?" And I looked at her and laughed. I said, "What did you just say?" I said, "Yes, my brother. Yes, I support her. I know her family. I remember my mother. My mother would have foster kids, and my mother didn't get paid back in the day. She didn't know it. She could take them down to her mama, Miss Maddie. Miss Maddie's still the best cook in the city. We could take them there. Miss Maddie would feed them. How do you forget that? And we were out there having church. All I'm saying is this. We forgot what got us here, y'all, and that's problem.
Right.
We got to start cultivating this young talent. We got some soldiers, some heroes and sheroes out here, 21, 22, educated, smart. We got to bring them up under our umbrella. Or guess what? They're going to keep putting their friends in office because that's what, and I'm not going to say no names, and some of them I like a lot. But I'm saying I'm just Democrat and Republican. Let me tell you something I got a problem with. You know what they do, and they do this all over the country. This is not just Montgomery County. They say, well, if you don't put somebody up to run against so-and-so, we won't run against so-and-so. What the H-E-L-L is that? Politics. So what happens is, come on, y'all, we going to keep it real. So what happens is, no, but they're not the most qualified 95% of the
yes,
time.
Sir.
I know two people need to be out of office immediately, right? But they already put them back in office. That's
only
politics.
Two? Only two?
Well, I know only two, but I'm being real nice and cordial. And so what I'm
saying. Oh,
no,
go ahead.
Yeah, our voice has got to be real. We've got to really say, look, some of you young people, I know you want to go make $1 million, but you ain't going to have nowhere to spend it in a minute because they're going to kick you out of your their community, and our community ain't going to have no businesses. We've got to keep our money in our community. Let me just say this. I went to the bar mitzvah. That's the Jewish rites of passage. You know, it's bat and bar, bat girl and bar's boy, and I was just sitting there. I was literally crying on the inside at this ceremony. And the reason that I was crying at the ceremony, because they was talking business. They was talking about how you keep the money in the community. They was talking about we'll never, never, ever, 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 never, never, never go back to the ghettos because we're going to spend our money with each other. See, that's the thing that we lack. And anybody that comes out and talks about that, they get ostracized. When you talk about, like Mayor's talking about, building up that Trotwood, building up the community, you get ostracized. And here's the problem, Mary. The people that's in the positions that can help, they get behind closed doors, and because they want to fit in, they don't say nothing until it's too late. We need leadership that's bold. We need leadership that's direct. And guess what? It's going to come from a lot of pastors. Yes, it is, because most pastors are being paid by the people. Politics must be driven by the people. You see what's happening, Black Lives Matter? I don't care what they say. Woo, Black Lives Matter is the new civil rights. They can say what they want. They're addressing stuff nobody else wanted to address. But they don't want to deal with them young kids because them young kids ain't worried. They 24, 25, they ain't got great jobs no way. They're willing to fight. My mother used to say the biggest fight is going to take place from 19 to 30 when the young people don't really understand the full concept of being greedy, being self-serving. I say, Mama, for real? I got it, Mom. I know you in heaven, but I got it now. Because at that age, you know that there's a fight. And so that's why in the civil rights era, y'all already know, y'all smarter than me, I'm sure, when it comes to that. That's why it took the young people to come out there to really, for us to really win civil rights when they stopped going to school because they said, we got to fight. Or we're going to die. We're going to die in these streets. We're going to die in these institutions. We're going to die in these prisons. Case of point is this. That's where we're at. We need bold leadership. but we have to go out there and recruit them. And the church, my synagogue, I'm telling you, temples, it's going to start there. And I think it really first starts with the church, because if the church gets on board, 10 or 11 pastors get on board, we find out, last one, people bragged about my nephew Dante. And they now he's 10 years old. He was on Oprah, and he did some stuff and got caught up. But, you know, he had done all this stuff. He wrote his book at 10, da-da-da. I used to think, why are they bragging on Dante? And I used to go to church, and we had five or six Dantes at the church. You know, Mary, we had great singers 4 and 5
Absolutely.
Years old. What happened?
Absolutely.
We never cultivated them. We didn't even cultivate a Dante. He had that photographic memory. Dante, I know you want to go make that money, but we need you to be the next this and that. That's what we're not doing. And so being that we're not doing that, we're in a hole. And we're digging ourselves deeper because we're looking at the hole. We know we're in the hole, but nobody wants to say we're in a hole.
Let me say this. That's the absolute truth in terms of not cultivating talent. One of the things that I'm working on right now is I'm already training my replacement, because as you can tell, there is so little talent that anybody that shows a level of talent, and you can't hide it. Social media will show you who you are, and you all know I kill it because I take you with me every day to do the things that I do. And what you see is what I do politically. You don't see that I go to that beauty shop that I own and I'm cranking out hair because that's what pays my bills. So if I can work like that and then go and work in a beauty shop and come home and fall out where I got to take a nap before I go to sleep at night, okay? I do that simply because of the love for the community and knowing that somebody's going to see this and say, you know what? I'm going to have to kick it up a notch. And I see people out here doing it. And I'm trying to really raise the awareness that it's time for new leaders. What we've had is a career of people who have been in place for way too long. They've had too many chicken dinners. Life's been too soft and easy for them. And they're satisfied. And they're living a life that's way away from the people who they say they represent. But then they get in front of the people who they supposed to be representing and talking about, I'm here with you. I've seen them throw their own people under the bus. I've been in some back rooms and seen people that say, shame on you. And then they'll come right out. But because people believe in them, they'll just, hey, they'll eat my head right off. So I could not even go about doing any exposing of that. I'm going to let you do that with your report card. But in my heart, over the 12 years, I have looked at this thing. And the reason we're seeing change now is there is bold leadership coming up. We are going to take over our city for the Lord, number one. He's going to be in a place where he needs to be in the city, and that's what is happening in the turnaround of our city in 9 months because he has been able to be put in the head. And what that means, being put in the head, is not God sitting up there, but what it is he promised if we have godly leadership, it would go well with the people. Our people, the people of the city of Trotwood, when we would walk in a room, leadership and citizens, and say we're from the city of Trotwood, you had to hold your head down because you were so embarrassed about what is happening. People that live here would talk about their city. Now people have hope because they are actually seeing some things that happen, and the only thing that has happened is prayer, number one, believing God for that, and then us getting out here working our behinds off like we don't have not one bit of sense. We're working hard at Trotwood. And we are getting beat up on the side of the people who we are trying to help simply because of this. When I ran for office, I didn't ask for endorsements from Democrat or Republicans. I don't owe nobody nothing. But I can talk to everyone because of the capacity and the seat that I sit in. And the people that should be talking to me, those are the people that ran from me.
Wow.
Those are the people
wow.
that have not come here to help me. Those are the people that are trying to beat me up and trying to say a whole lot of things that are not true. And you know what?
Wow.
We've got to stop that. And we've got to stop allowing people to do that. Because that's what sends people away. But I'm made out of some of the old school kind of stuff. You can't beat me down with that. I've been working for myself all my life, so I've not lived off of people's approval. What is necessary in our community is the kind of bold leadership Marlon talks about, the kind of leadership that the Elder Scares talked about. Those are the kind of leaders that need to come forth. And you can't wait around for nobody to give you permission. You got to go do it.
That's right.
They're not going to ever give you permission. All they're going to do is give you criticism.
Let me say this real quick. If you listen to the show and you want to call in, call us at 619-924-9859. You know, I have to say this. Someone, when they saw the topic, they said, man, are you sure you want to do that show? You don't want to just do like a segment and then, you know, go back to what y'all normally talk about? And this is why you got to be careful, too, of who you let be connected with you and what people speak in your life and in your ear. Because right after I talked to that person, for a minute, I started thinking like, well, man, maybe they're right, because, you know, people are used to us doing. But I have to say, I have to honestly say, I'm so thankful that I did not let that marinate and get inside me, because I'm just looking at the inboxes and the few text messages that I'm getting from people that are listening, and they're thanking and saying thank you to you all for sharing and for having this show, because it is important. One young lady says she is thankful for this particular topic because she doesn't know much about politics. She, you know, doesn't really know about, you know, really why it was important to vote. It was just the fact that, you know, she turned 18 and she votes, you know, and let's be honest, most of us have voted in our black community Democrat because that's what we saw our parents and our grandmothers and our uncles and our cousins and our churches and the pastors doing. But I definitely love the fact that you guys are promoting vote, you know, vote for what's right for you. Vote for what you think is going to is going to be good for the community. But I will say, go ahead.
And then I'm going to say, if you don't vote for your own interests, who's going to vote for you?
That's right.
Our children are dependent on us. You got to vote. I blame us that we're ignorant.
That's right.
I blame us that we don't know. I blame the churches. I go to Omega Baptist Church, and I love my pastor. We go back at it. I blame us. Because we should know about every candidate, and watch this. We should be able to watch them for a year, too. We should watch candidates. That's why we're doing this calendar, this report card. We have to watch, okay, what did you really do? Not what you put on paper. Because my thing is, if you really did it, why ain't nobody talking about you? My mother told me the morning, she hurt my ego. I was patting myself on the back. She said, Marlon, okay, it's okay to pat yourself on the back one time. But after one time, you ain't doing nothing if the people are not patting you on the back. If you got to keep patting yourself on the back, seeing all the great things you're doing on Facebook, you ain't doing nothing. And she's right, because most of the time you're hiding behind a mask. And the leadership, most of the leadership in this county are fake. I hate to say it. They are facade. They're not doing nothing, because if they were doing something, our community would be way better off. And we got to start being honest. Why blame us that people don't know who to vote for or why they even voting? If it means going back to the 60s and 70s, which I was just born, right? But I'm just saying, if it means going door to door letting people know, why are we not educating? Why are some churches are, but I was at the Point Church, and they're talking about doing this. I was there tonight, about just adopting your block. Adopt the school on your block, the businesses on your block, right? Adopt your block, and make sure they understand the power of voting, that we're going to adopt this block. We got 1,003,762 billion churches. I'm being facetious, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Why are we not adopting the block? Everybody should know about voting. We should start teaching kids about voting, maybe in the third and fourth grade, and telling them to watch the candidate. Watch them now.
Uh-oh, somebody's background.
I hope they can watch the candidates now, Marlon.
No, here's what I'm saying. Hey, this is what I mean. Like, let's say you in the fourth or fifth grade. I can watch what Attorney John is doing right now.
Yes.
Right, because
okay,
I think that we're in a season today, is he somebody I want to
those who are going to run for office, I think that harvest is ripe right now. It's not going to be your run-of-the-mill, same old candidates who people
That's
have
right.
become accustomed to seeing. I think this is a mm-hmm. season that things are going to change, and the people who are going to be put in those positions are going to be – I think they're being cultivated right now. Cultivated right now, whoever they may be, to get ready to take over these positions, who are actually going to have the best interests of the community at heart.
Period. You're absolutely right, Pastor, because I'll tell you what's happening in Trotwood right now. At one particular time, mind you, I've gone through probably four or five elections over the 12 years that I've been in place. I have never – this is the very first time that I've had Democrats and Republicans, everybody coming in our community trying to market to our people, because it used to be sold up. But because of the presence the work that's happening within our community and the people, the new folks that are coming on board and that are talking to the leadership now, it has completely changed. We actually have folks that used to be for sure they could count on our vote. They didn't bother coming out here. Now they at the block party. They at the
gospel.
They at the barbecue. They in the mailbox. They spending money out here. And they should have been working for us and doing something for us. Now they got to try to convince us because other voices are coming forth. And what I say about politics, please, let's stop this whole thing of voting our buddy and pal and friend, because it's about influence. It's about relationship. That's what is happening right now with me in terms of what's happening with Stratacash coming to our company. Stratacash is a $500 million company that is now located at our industrial park where the old GM plant was. That place was sitting empty. Could have been sitting empty a long time in the future, but because of relationship.
Wow.
We have 57 new jobs that came in through Correct Plumbing, starting at $65,000 a year. We've got jobs
wow.
like that. We've got the Elder Bierman building. They're rehabbing that building inside right there for about 52 new jobs, starting at $45,000 a year once those jobs come in there. We've got last night Planning Commission just okay the Walmart building. We got a business coming in there that's going to be part climate control storage, but also the other part of it is going to be 25 manufacturing jobs. And then there are a few other new things that are coming. Up there at the old Bob
wow.
Evans site, what you've got coming up there is going to be a DaVita's Dialysis Center. We have got things
wow.
happening in our city where in the last 9 months, show you what God will do because he's doing a quick work.
Hmm.
He can
Watch
move
yourself.
In a situation. He can move in a place where it has been designated as dry bones, because that's what God showed me. We were as Ezekiel, the valley of the dry
Watch
bones.
Yourself.
Everybody had wrote us off.
Watch yourself, Mayor.
People were moving out of here left and right.
Yep.
Guess what? We're selling houses yep. now at the price that people are asking, because they want to get in there. I'm telling people now, you look a year from now at Trotwood and you're going to say, wow, what happened? And I'm going to be able to tell you it was nothing but the hand of God and our willingness to embrace the family of God. Because the family of God, if they're in right leadership, they're going to talk to black, white, Democrat, Republican, independent, nobodies. We're going to do the work of being a unified community. I am not going to talk about being a Christian and then try to destroy someone because of a belief system. Let God be the truth. Everything else be a lie.
Also, God is raising up these people who are not ashamed of their faith. And
That's
I have
right.
said, I don't know how many times,
right.
that we – and people may not agree with me, but we need people of faith in positions of power, people that
yes.
are going to be
yep.
persuaded by something stronger than their pocketbooks, people that are going
mm-hmm.
to be persuaded by what is best for God's people.
That's
period.
Right.
And
That's
we
right.
need these people in positions of power. We just do. We just do. And I'm
because
we
need
to
hung up on power.
To do whatever I can
I'm
do
sorry.
With whatever influence or small influence I do have to make sure these things happen. And as pastors,
mm-hmm.
I think that we have to understand that our influence goes so far greater than just among the people that's in our pews. That's why we have
that's
to be
right.
mindful and be careful that we keep our names clean, that we stay above
mm-hmm.
reproach, that we keep
that's
our
right.
hands out the pot, that we keep our – I almost said something I shouldn't, but we keep our pants zipped up because you cannot afford to lose your
That's
influence.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're the same way with women. You have to be a woman of integrity. If you a single woman, you better watch it, because everybody out here trying to holler. But you know what? When you realize you've been called out to do a work, you have to carry yourself that way. That's what we. That's the history that we had in the saints of old. You know, where people carried themselves in a way that they were respected walking down the street, that they didn't sleep with everything that came down the pike. You have all kind of opportunities in that world when you do that. That's why leadership should be in the hand. God ordained government. Leadership should be in the hand of the godly. And then people
and
need to be constantly praying. When I come in after all of these great wins and things like that that happen, I get down on my knees, because when I start talking to you about it, it can't be that the reflection is me. The reflection has to be on him. And I say it all the time, and I put it in the things that I share, and I make sure that I say it in the places that I go, simply because we have got to keep God in the place that he is, or we will get sucked up in pride and believing that it's all about us and all that kind of stuff. It's not all about us, but it is about us. You know what I mean?
Right. Let me ask this real quick. Okay. So we're not here to tell who to vote for. But I want to ask I want to throw this out. So in this particular election, there are other candidates, but the chances of them winning outside of the main two, what are your thoughts of people just saying, I'm not going to vote, I'm just going to vote, or I'm going to vote for such and such, or I'm not going to vote at all? Again, we're not telling you who to vote for, but would you agree that we need to pick one of the main two?
I believe people have to be persuaded by their own mind, because, again, who knows? Who knows what will happen, especially with this election? Because I think it's bad that the choices that we have are what we have. I'm not in love with either of them, and I will tell you that on that national level. But what I will say is, watch your local politics, because see, the Electoral College is who's going to decide who your president going to be. And we need to be very, very much concerned with who our mayor and our council and our county commissioners are. And are they really vested in the interest that we have? Or are they just trying to kick the can down towards getting 30 years in so they can go home and move to Florida? Because they have destroyed a whole city and not care.
And you can finish. But I'm only just throwing that out there because there's a young person who just inboxed me and basically is saying that, you know, they're lost, and they're at a point where they're just not going to vote because
your vote is a statement, so that's why you can't tell anybody what to or who. With your question
ahead,
that you asked, you know, would you vote for somebody who maybe didn't stand a chance? You could if that's who you feel you should vote for, that's your statement.
I got you.
Yeah, I think the person should definitely vote. They might need to do that research and whoever they think that the is. I just think it honors the ancestors. I do think whoever that young person that's listening, I think you should vote. And also I want to say something. When we're talking about politicians, remember the goal is not politicians. The goal is to make sure they're public servants. That's the key, for them to be public servants. And then I say it, Pastor, we got too many spiritual pimps and holy hustlers in the pulpit. And then you wonder why men don't want to come to church. I don't want to
come
to church because you're throwing everybody in the church. Okay, I'll leave that there. I said it, Pastor. And then you got too many.
I'm sorry. I just take a phrase break right there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know, and the women
go ahead.
Wearing clothes like they're going to the club. What you expect?
We ain't all. We ain't all.
Okay, I'll leave it alone.
I'll leave it alone.
we I know. No, not. But no, you no,
we
no,
know
no.
The
you,
truth.
You no, yeah,
because
yeah,
you
definitely.
Know what? Back in the day when we were coming up in church, some of the things that I have to look over to see Jesus.
Listen.
I'd have seen the tattoos, the this, the that, the other. And I'm not mad at anybody for tattoos. But I tell you what, I just remember a time when you didn't look right going out the door. My mom and them would call you back. You got to cover up.
You
didn't
oh,
have
you did
everything.
The, right.
You
yeah,
didn't have
definitely.
Everything out there like that. Because I don't know how the pastors can keep their mind on the word these days.
Mayor, I know a young man. I'm definitely not going to put him out there. But I know a young man. He got a church. Him
oh, Lord.
And him, what? I ain't going to name. Him and one of the guys, his deacons, got a competition on who can get the most. Okay, I'll leave it alone.
Oh,
it's been
real.
I'm respect
Oh my Lord. Oh my Lord.
And if you
but
out
you know what? We all know
me.
What we gotta do. We've got to make an impact. And everything that to me that has been said tonight is the absolute truth, I believe. If I can help anybody
definitely.
Out there that is at all interested and moving forward in politics, and I'm not telling you got to do it the way I do it, but I will tell you this. If your heart is for serving people, and I get my greatest joy out of serving people, that's what I would be willing to help you with, simply because I have no other motive for doing this at this level. I have no other motive other than to make sure that my community is successful. And I will ask y'all to keep me in prayer, hold me up, because it's been some tough days around here lately. But I know it's because we're making an impact. And when we understand spiritual warfare, we're upsetting the forces out there. But we're going to keep on pressing forward, because at the end of the day, what I'm looking at is my people's property values being devalued. I'm looking at a community that's been designated as a food desert. I'm looking at young women are losing babies under a year, high infant mortality. I'm looking at diabetes, high blood pressure, all of those things that are negative that can happen to a community of people where disinvestment has led. These are the things that happen to our community. And you can't tell me when everybody is one party, they can't say, listen, we're going to make a difference right here, and it not happen.
Definitely.
That's a perfect
definitely.
Opportunity. But what I have seen is I've seen down at Austin Pike, they putting stuff on top of their stuff. Then how much stuff do you need down there? Have y'all been down there?
yes. They got a little bit of everything down there.
It's kind of like when you watch one of those old movies and you're in the desert and you see nothing but sand, and all of a sudden you look up and there's a city coming up out the ground. I've never seen so much investment.
So,
and you know the funny thing about it, in our community, we're working hard with little dollars. But down there, their legislative body are fighting. It's interesting. When people got a whole lot, they down there fighting. Now, you would think they'd be all happy down there. But the legislative is power. That's what people are fighting about now. It's power. Donald Trump, it's power. He's got all the money he needs. He wants the power of the title. He wants the power of what has been a coveted thing that has primarily been a coveted thing of Caucasians. And then the people that are following him are angry because this African-American man got that prize. And they want to make all of us pay for it. And they will stir up every bit of hate and venom to get there. And Hillary,
that's right.
I've had
you know
enough
what?
Of Clinton's. Because, you know, I don't want to see, excuse me, I'll let go. I don't want to see 4 years of them talking about Bill and Monica. That's what we're going to get with that. Every time she makes a move, her personal life is going to be in the way. We need clean candidates. Not that your life is perfect, but we need clean people coming forth that don't have all the baggage. So we can get some work done.
That's
I'm
right.
Done.
Yeah. No, you know,
I think we gotta watch
the mic. You know what? No, I definitely, and again, I have to say I watched you closely. I remember you and I met you probably about 15 plus years ago. when I was helping out Cross.
Out of the church we came out of, our pastor is the one who got me started in politics, John Bray.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
At Point Church.
Yep.
Wow. Wow.
Because he said,
and I watched
the work
you from
is not
back
in
then.
This building. The work is out there.
Yeah.
The work is, that's right.
Yeah. And
don't
you know
have
what?
A savior complex, have a servant complex. We got too many
mm-hmm.
savior complex. We have to have
yes.
a servant. We have to
that's
serve.
Right.
That's what we learned as kids. You and, serve
well,
first before you talk.
Exactly. And that's what I was well, and that's what I was
Divine.
Getting ready to say. That's what I was going to say. I watched you, and there was a couple of times the other party, I was seeing people post things and was saying stuff about you, and there was times I wanted to, you know, jump back because I know you, and I watched you, and I respected the way you did not retaliate. You just kept it moving, had a smile on your face. I'm sure you had your private times with God or whatnot, but I respect that. And
ask Elder Stearns how many private times I had. Yes. But you know what? That's what it's about, because there ain't no super saints. We all going to
yes.
have a day where we need somebody else to hold our arms up. And I thank God for the people of God that he's put in my life. He has put some wonderful people that have I've been able to just say, please pray for me. I'm a single woman now,
yeah.
you know. So
yeah.
when I come home, I don't have nobody to crawl up on and say, you know, baby, hold me because they really want me today. You know, I don't have that. But I have a Savior, and I can put my prayer time in. I can call my friends. They can let me talk it out. They don't judge me. We need to allow our leaders to be real. We need to not make them super people. That's why I share the way that I do, because I want you to know I'm a straight-up everyday person who got to go to work, got to crank some hair out, who still got to come home and cut my grass. It's all the stuff y'all don't always see. But I have to do everything that you have to do, and I still have to know that legislative material that I'm going to vote on and make sure that I can vote with a clear conscience to represent my people,
mm-hmm.
because I want their life to be better. And it's going to be better with the Lord's help.
Well, we're going to vote for the pay of the mayor to go up so she ain't got to work so hard because she's doing a wonderful job.
Amen.
I've already tried to get it in the charter.
Listen,
amen. We got to work on that piece. But you know what? It's all in God's hands because, you know, there are opportunities that will come. And I just want to
yeah.
be faithful, and I want people to do this because they care. Because local level politics, it really should be in your heart that you really, really care to
yeah.
be able to make a difference. But y'all, please, please now, please pay attention to the county. I think the pastor told you, Elder Scares told you, y'all pay attention downtown. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I agree.
Listen. This is what I want to do because we have about maybe 20 minutes left. I want to do this. I think for the most part, we have said what we're going to say about voting. It's important. Go out and vote. We need to vote. Whoever your candidate is, whoever makes you happy or whatever, whoever you feel is right for your community and for your beliefs, go out and vote. Don't sit at home, complain, and you have not exercised your right. But what I want to do is, we have Brother Shackelford, we got Elder. I want to close this out. I don't know however we want to do it. Let's close this out with prayer. Let's pray for Brother
yes.
Shackelford. We'll have you pray for our young people.
Okay.
Elder, we'll have you pray for our spiritual leaders. And Mayor McDonald, we'll have you pray for our politicians, our local politicians, and those leaders. So we can do it that way, whichever order.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I guess I can start. And before I start, you know, we always say faith without works is dead. I like to add prayer without faith, without works is dead. I want to put prayer in front of faith and works because I do think it starts with prayer. I do think that we have to become a praying people, and where there is no vision, the people prosper. So I just want to say, Father God, first of all, before we ask for anything, we want to thank you for everything. We want to thank you for mercy, for grace, for your unconditional love. We want to thank you for believing in us and for this excellent show with the people of God who believe. We are believers. You are our affirmer, our protector, our redeemer, our restorer, our teacher, our healer. We give it to you, omnipotent, omniscient. You all that in a bag of chips, as a four-year-old girl told me today. You all that in a bag of chips. My God is all that in a bag of chips. So we want to pray for the young people that's in our schools and the young people that's in our community, that they dare to be different, that they strive, that they start small, that they think possibilities, that they reach out a little further, that they invest wisely, that they visualize success, and that they expand carefully, and that they strive to stay on top of life, because we know that the bottom is overcrowded, and we want them to reach their crown. We want them to understand that the crown comes through you, and with you all things are possible. All things are possible, that if they just do the possible things, you'll do the impossible, and we believe in him possible, him being you, and we will never give up on our young people, and because of that, we're willing to work extra hard. Maybe we don't make the money, but we know that your word is our bond, your word is our truth, and we believe in our young people, and that's why we do what we do. And so we're not going to give up on them. We're going to pray like the Muslims, 6 or 7 times a day. We're going to pray for our young people, that they then can become those public servants, that they then can become those leaders, that they then can become those investors, that they then can become those entrepreneurs, and bring it back to our community, to bring their gifts back, because gifts come from you. Gifts come from you, the universal law. If they don't use them, they'll lose them. So we're asking that them gifts come back to our community. And the only way that that can happen, if we begin to cultivate, that we begin to pass a lit torch that lights them up, that illuminates inside of them, that we then can make a difference in our community. We ask this in your name.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to serve. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to share in what you ordain, and that's government. Father God, I ask that you would be in the lives and the hearts and the minds of everyone that stands before you and makes that vow to say that they have been chosen to be a leader, knowing, Lord Jesus, that there is a higher standard that's called forth when you say you're called to be a leader. Father God, I ask you to chasten us. I ask you to do whatever it takes to wake us up to the full responsibility that you've placed in our hands as leaders. Father, I ask you to work with the hearts of the people so that there's a willingness to educate themselves, to open up their minds and their hearts to a different way, a way of inclusion and a way of understanding. And Father God, when we've done everything that you want us to be doing, let us be sure that we have invested in others so that they may take up the torch and they may move it to the next level. Father God, things we asked in your name, and we give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray to you now, O God, for your men and women servants of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, allow those leaders to be influential, just not amongst their congregations, but in their communities, O God. You said beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. And, oh, God, let us put down this mantle of competition.
Yes.
Let us put down this mantle, oh, God, of trying to be better than the church down the street, because I believe we're missing the mark. God, I love your church with all that is within me.
Yes.
God, I pray that right now, even through the arms of different denominations and beliefs, or interpretations, oh God, that we can still infect the change that is so needed in our communities.
Yeah.
God, we don't have a black or white problem or a Democratic or Republican problem. God, the issue that's wrong with America is a heart problem. And the only way the heart can be massaged back into exactly what it is we need to be, God, it happens in the church. Christ makes the difference. I have preached it, and I will continue to say it, oh God, for as long as you give me breath in my body. Now, God, I pray for my fellow manservants and women servants of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let them stay above reproach, oh God, where sin would want to come in and try to shake up the foundation of influence and engagement, oh God. I plead and apply the blood of Jesus Christ against it right now. We convict, hallelujah, and we crucify this flesh before our flesh crucifies us. And, oh God, all that is within us, we will, hallelujah, uphold the standard of the blood of Christ in the communities that we are called to serve. Whether we have 5,000 members or five, God, please continue to allow us, hallelujah, to be effective in your communities, that the work that we do may not be in vain, but at least there is one person who can be convinced that Jesus is Lord, and because he is Lord, that they can do something crazy and miraculous and stupendous, hallelujah, in the places that they live. God, we love you. We adore you. God, we love you and we adore you. God, I pray also that you would allow us to work where our individual gifts allow us to be most effective. We don't have to be professionals of it all. But God, some of us have Walmart ministries. Some of us have 7-Eleven ministries. God, just let us work our corner effectively. God, and we thank you and we praise you again with all that is within us. Bless these individuals. Bless Brother Shackelford, oh God, and all that he has done. God, I pray that you bless him right now. Hallelujah. I pray that you bless him right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. I speak a supernatural blessing on his life of peace and favor and financial blessing. God, because of what he has sown. God, even right now, I speak to my mayor in the name of Jesus, and I pray advancement, hallelujah, not just in the kingdom of God, but advancement in the earth, oh God, that she may continue to go forward and infect change in the lives of the people who need it most. God, put her in places where people have been afraid to speak up right now in Jesus' name. Oh God, when she walks into a room, let the devil be scared, hallelujah. Oh, God, let us understand that right now you are raising up a generation of people who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are raising up a generation of people, oh, God, hallelujah. You are raising up a generation of people who don't want who don't want you to be ashamed of them when we stand
That's
in front
right.
of your Father. God, we thank you right now with the name of Jesus. And,
thank
oh, God,
you,
where the devil thought he was going to win, we cancel it right now in the name of Jesus. And, oh, God, I lift up my voice right now like a trumpet in Zion. Cancel the assignment of the enemy right now, oh, God. Dayton is victorious. Trotwood is victorious. Centerville is victorious. Jefferson Township is victorious. Inglewood is victorious. Clayton is victorious. This is our territory, and the devil can't have it. And as long as there's breath in my body, and as long as there's breath in the body of those who are on this line, they will do all that is necessary and required, hallelujah, to make sure your people prevail.
Hallelujah.
God, we love you. And we glorify you today with all that is within us. God, we don't do this for any shape, form, or fashion, but you called us to this. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
You called us to this, and for that we do it. Not because of the riches that we'll obtain in earth, but that which is being stored in heaven. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, O God. Thank you, O God.
Praise you, O God. We
bow
praise
unto
you,
him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. O God, we will follow peace with all men. And holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. God, we love you and we praise you. It is in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus the Christ we pray. Amen.
Yes.
And thank you.
Amen. Let's just bless the devil, man. Let's just give him some praise. Come on. Let's just take Jesus and give him praise. For those who listen, you might be at home. Just give him praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, let's give him praise for the city that's surrounding. Let's give him praise for our young people because there's a difference. And I believe that the ones that's on this call, we can be the ones that make that change. So
Yes.
You bless
your name, O God.
Bless your name. Thank you, Father.
We hope that this has been a blessing to somebody. We
are sending up praises right now because God is awesome. He's wonderful. A city that's praising. A city that's worshiping.
Yes.
Lord Jesus,
thank you.
We
thank
you.
Wow. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Yes, I just want to
just say thank you. Thank you for you all who took time to be here tonight. You didn't have to, but I thank you that you just said yes.
I believe that you guys had have made an impact on someone tonight. I really believe that, and I'm just excited for what is what's to come. What's to come? I'm just excited.
Mary McDonald, if there is somebody that would like to contact you, or you know, volunteer or get more information about bringing jobs or bringing programs to Trotwood, how can they get a hold of you?
Yes, you may call the office at area code 937-854-7213 and ask for David.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then just share with him whatever you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still feeling that prayer.
Look at the Lord. Look at what he's doing. Because you know what I feel? He's got a plan for this. There was a reason we came together for this. Marlon, the work that you're doing, that's the same work Elder Scares talks about all the time. And it's what I believe has got to happen. It's our time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we only have a certain amount of time, and then it's somebody else's time.
That's right.
Move into the leadership and empower these people to get out here and do the work. Because one of the things that most of you, and I know you only have a couple of minutes, but I'm going to say this. One of the things that I've seen, and I'm saying this from being a preacher's daughter, the reason why there's been so much upset in these churches around here is because they've had no succession plan.
People act like they were going to be there forever,
and then they died or they got sick or somebody had to leave or whatever, and then you have all this unrest in churches where our parents worked hard. When I think about Shiloh and I think about some of the things that have happened in a number of these churches, it's a shame, and it's because we're not thinking. I got involved with Jewish people some time ago, and when my daughter turned 13, I gave her a bat mitzvah where people, and don't give no gifts, I told them to just give some money towards her for investment. We got to start thinking like that. I did the same thing with my grandbabies. No baby shower. We're going to come together. I brought the financial planner in there along with the pastor that blessed the babies, but we put money into investments. We have got to be thinking differently. And I got that because I was willing to go talk to some other people that was being successful. We got to be willing to do that and not be ashamed of what we don't know. Somebody is willing to help us. We get not because we ask not. There's help out there for us. And then we also in turn have something that we give because these people are longing to know about us. They only know the characters that they see on 2 and 7 and 22. But when they come to know you and I who know the love of Christ, we are able to win some.
Yeah.
And that's the difference that we make by not being ashamed of our faith and being ashamed of who we are.
Amen.
And I thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you so much. And thank you for the prayer. This has been a tough week right here. You know, many of you all know the behind-the-scenes stuff. And it's been tough, but I just thank you for tonight because coming in from a real busy event and thinking, okay, we got to do this radio thing. I'm going to be too tired. You all have just energized me and renewed my spirit. So please know, I so appreciate this. Devon, thank you. Elder Scarce, thank you for inviting me. Marlon, thank you. You know I love you. I love you all because we are family. And you know what? We cannot let anybody divide us. We are the family of God.
That's right. And I definitely would love, listen, don't be a stranger. One more time before you go, give your information of how you can be reached again.
Just so we can make sure that people have it.
Okay. If you need to reach me, call area code 937 854 7213 and ask for David. He's my administrative assistant, and he will make sure that I get the message and anything that you need communicated.
Amen. And Dr. Shackelford, and all that you are doing with young people.
Actually, I too have a mentoring group, and I definitely want to get with you on some things. But if someone was listening tonight and they were interested in what you're doing, how can we contact you? How can we get a hold of you?
Two ways. One way is my number is 1-937-475-2707. 1-937-475-2707. You can call me early in the morning, 6 o'clock, or call me late at night after 9 or 10, because I literally run that long. Or you can inbox me. And if you got young people out there that's serious, that loves God, I'm your man. Because I don't play with them. I hold them to a higher calling, and I give them responsibility. And there's a lot needs to be done in our community.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Listen, please don't be a stranger. We would love for you all to pop back in. Also, if you were listening to the show and you want someone else to hear the show after we go off of the air, give us about an hour. The show will be, you can go back to the website and the show is archived, so you're able to listen to the show and as well share the show. So someone who probably were busy tonight or at an event or something that could not make the show, they can go back and listen to the show. I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight, coming on, being a part. I want to thank my staff and just want to thank you guys. Just thank you, because this is just confirmation. Now, we've been going strong back for a couple of months now after taking a 2-year break, and I didn't think I was going to come back, but I thank God that this is confirmation that it's helping people, that this is another avenue to help people, and it helps me, you know. So I just want to thank you guys again. Again, don't forget to always, always, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad it looks, sound, feel, standing alone, whatever, remember to always speak life. You have the power of death and life in your tongue. And so you have the power to change your life. So we're going to ride out on Stand by Donna McClurkin. God bless you all. You have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.